And so, how many of you, just by a show of hands, are going to be eating turkey on Thursday? That's a lot of birds, a lot of birds, all right? The Thanksgiving is on Thursday, and I asked this at the chapel service last night. How long does it take to prepare a full-blown traditional Thanksgiving dinner? How long does it take? As long as it takes to make one call to Sendix, right? Some people say it takes all week, right? Because they're doing something all week to get ready. I don't know where they came up with this, but people say about 18 hours to prepare the traditional Thanksgiving meal. How long does it take to eat a Thanksgiving meal? Well, the right answer is, how long is the halftime of a football game? And that's what it is. But these tables are going to be flowing with abundance. And the right thing to do is to say, thank you, God, for this abundance. But dear friends, we need to remember, when we have eaten so much on Thanksgiving and we have to loosen our belt, there are tables that are bare. Here in this country, here in our own backyard, there are tables that are bare. Every 10 seconds in this world, a child dies of starvation and malnourishment. But we have all of this abundance. And so this is the final sermon in our sermon series this November on Thanksgiving, a series simply called Thank You. Thank you, God. Next week, we're going to gather, and everything's going to look different. It's the first weekend of our first week of Advent as we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, a very exciting time in the life of the church. But we wanted to make sure that we entered into Advent filled with gratitude. And so this sermon series began on All Saints' Day, and we said, thank you, God, for our family members, for our friends. And we remembered those family members and friends who have gone before us, who have been born into eternity, and we gave thanks for the lasting legacies, the true inheritances that they leave behind for us. And we thought, what are we going to leave behind when we are gone? In the second week of this series, we said, thank you, God, for these spiritual gifts. Thank you, God, for these unique abilities that I have that can be used to glorify your kingdom, that can be used so that your people are attended to. And we said the only appropriate response to these spiritual gifts that we have been given, the way in which we say thank you to God, is by actually using them, putting them into practice to make a difference. Last week, we said thank you, God, for amazing grace. And a lot of you have come up to me this week and said, oh, I just love that sermon. I love that sermon. I said, oh, yeah, what part about it? And of course, they said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. There were actually real points in that sermon besides that song. But this gift of grace is the greatest gift that God could give to any of us. But today, we say thank you, God, for abundance. Abundance. And abundance is God's intention to us and for us. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, an abundant, abundant life. And so I came across a quote this week that said, gratitude builds a bridge to abundance. And so that's the link with our sermon series here this day. Gratitude builds a bridge to abundance. We need to be people who are defined by our gratitude. And so the truth for us this day is that we worship a generous God of abundance who calls us to be generous to others. And so we have a scriptural passage for us today, and it is taken from the second letter that Paul writes to this church in Corinth. And it's in the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 15. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to read it for you, or it's in your bulletin, or if you want to take your pew Bibles out and open up to 2 Corinthians 9. Hear these words. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so we contemplate abundance. And so I've been walking with abundance this week, and I've seen abundance pop up. You know, when you thinking about it, you see it all over. It's like you buy a brand new car, all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. You have eyes for it. And so I had eyes for abundance. And I started to think, well, what do we really have an abundance of? What do I have an abundance of? And if I were to ask you that question, to take just 5 seconds and say, what do you have an abundance of? What would come to mind? What do you have an abundance of? All right, that's 5 seconds. All right, so when I think about it, I have an abundance of mucus this week. I have been so sick. I got all of this mucus. I had been sharing it. I left some over there just earlier. When I was young, I had an abundance of acne, just an abundance. Maybe if you were being real, as you were reflecting on what you have an abundance of, maybe it did go a little negative for you. Maybe you thought, man, I have an abundance of bills and not an abundance of cash. Any other kind of thing. But that's not what our focus is to be in this season of Thanksgiving. Our focus is, what do we have an abundance of for which we must give thanks? And I heard some of you kind of shout some of those things out. And so I know that at the same time I had an abundance of acne, I had an abundance of tolerance from my parents, grace extended to me. When I was taking a look at the weather for this weekend, because I didn't want it to rain on this day, and my app said, abundant sunshine. Oh, thank God for abundant sunshine. But if I really dig deeper, I have an abundance of freedoms in my life, but I also have an abundance of love. There are people who love me, for which I give thanks, and I also have an abundance of love that I have to offer to someone else. We worship a generous God of abundance who calls us to be generous with others. And so I have to ask a question. What does it mean to live a life of abundance? What does a life of abundance actually mean? And when we look at that phrase abundance in our society, we have to ask, why is it that when we hear the word abundance in our society, we always think of wealth? Why is that the first thing that comes to mind? Are you abundant? No, I don't have much cash. Or are you abundant? Yeah, I just got paid. Why is it always cash? And so I actually went to the dictionary, a secular dictionary, not the Bible dictionary. I went to a secular dictionary just to take a look at what abundance really is. And there were three definitions. And so the first definition was extremely plentiful or oversufficient quality or quantity or supply. And so we think of an abundance of grain. Right? How many of you have a little patch of garden around your house or ever have had a garden? And you know, you plant these things and there's nothing, nothing, nothing. All of a sudden, man, I have more cucumbers than I know what to do with. Or I have so many tomatoes, they're going to go rotten unless we get it. That's an overabundance of quantity of things. Second definition, affluence, wealth, the enjoyment of abundance. But in this secular dictionary that I was on online, the third definition of abundance I loved. They defined abundance as overflowing fullness. Overflowing fullness. And their little tag there was abundance of the heart. But I love that overflowing fullness, because when it flows out, it flows out. It's meant to be shared, and for Christians, that's something that we need to remember. We have this belief that God is a generous God and that all of our needs will really be met, but that comes down to trust. Do we really trust That this God, who is a God of abundance, a God of bounty, a God who can make all things possible, do we really trust that God is going to provide for us? Very early on in the story of God's people, there was this time where they had no food. They had left Egypt. They were on their way. They were not yet to the homeland where they were meaning to go, and they were starving. And so God responded. We know this story. Every morning when they woke up, there was enough food for everyone. They called that manna. Manna from heaven, enough food for everyone. And everyone ate, everyone had their fill. But because people are people, right away some people tried to hoard. You see, I have to have an abundance, which means I have to have more than somebody else. And yet that was not God's plan. Anything that was hoarded, rotted, maggots. I preached a sermon on the manna in the wilderness when my youngest daughter, who's about to turn 21, when she was about 12, 11, 13, in that tween kind of period, and she came home and I said, what'd you think of the service? And she said, Daddy, you're right. You cannot hoard God's generosity. God is generous with us so that we can be generous with others. And my parent heart just went, yay. She was awake, she was listening, she got at least one thing, and that one thing was good enough for her to have. But we don't trust. We don't trust. And because, and I'm not the first pastor you've had here, I'm not even the second pastor you've had here that has talked with you about this, we lack trusting in God's abundant provision because we have this scarcity mentality, this believing that we will never have enough. And when we have this lack of trust, when we have this scarcity mentality, it makes us, and if I'm going to be honest, it makes us mean. It makes us greedy. It makes us unneighborly. And I would say it even makes us unhealthy as we're obsessed with more, more, more while turning a blind eye to those who have nothing. It's an inward focus. We are inward focused on what we believe abundance should be, which is why we here in this country will spend $75 billion this year on lottery tickets. $75 billion on lottery tickets, chasing this dream. I don't have enough. I need a little bit more. So I'm going to take this that I do have, and I'm just going to throw it away. What if even half of that money was used to feed, to clothe, to house, to stand up for what is right, even when it is not popular? As I said at the beginning of this, we live in a world where every 10 seconds a child dies from starvation. And do you know that we here in the United States of America annually spend enough money on ice cream, and I'll include frozen custard, as a former cop's frozen custard maker, we spend more on ice cream. We've spent enough money on ice cream annually here to feed the entire world. To feed the entire world, and yet the world goes hungry. We need to have an abundant mindset, not a scarcity mentality. An abundant mentality, and an abundant mindset doesn't focus on what it doesn't have. It focuses on what it does have and what it can do with that. About 3 months ago, one of the members of this church came up to me and said, I really like your quotes for life thing. Here's a quote. Work it in sometime. So here it is. Today is the day that Barry Barrett's quote makes its way in. And it's this: the happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. You see, they understand themselves to be stewards of it, that it's a precious gift, and that it is to be used. And so Mark Twain said, if you want to love and abundance in your life, if you want love and abundance in your life, give it away. Give it away. At the chapel service last night, we sang a song in the green book. You know, our Methodist hymnal is red. We have the black book, the faith we sing. There's also a green book, worship and song. And we sang a song that, if I'm going to be honest, it was an absolute train wreck. No one had ever heard the tune. We sang it terribly. It was like pulling teeth. But the words were so important. The words were so important. It's a song, and Mark Miller wrote the music to it. Mark Miller came to our annual conference a few years ago. The music was just out of this world. But it's a song called Amazing Abundance. Amazing Abundance. And here's what the first stanza says. Amazing abundance poured out on this land, the mark of your gracious and generous hand. Your blessing is richest on those who will give with joy and thanksgiving so others may live. Your blessing is richest on those who will give with joy and thanksgiving so others may live. But that's hard to do, isn't it? There's another great story in the Old Testament, and Elijah, who was this prophet of prophets, and Elijah is there, and the land is in fathom. It's dry, there's no food, and people are starving to death, and Elijah is walking along, and there is this widow, and she and her son are picking sticks. They have just enough food for one last meal. And she realizes this is going to be the last meal we ever have. And it's not much of a meal at that. We're probably going to die of starvation. And here comes Elijah, and he says, give me something to eat. Now, I'm obviously paraphrasing this. Give me something to eat. And she says, but sir, I tell you the truth, I've only got this little bit, and even what I have is really not enough to feed my son and I. We're going to die of starvation. And Elijah says, don't worry, God has told me that if you share out of that, you'll never go hungry, that you're always going to have enough. And so the widow does what Elijah asks, and sure enough, as Scripture says, so she did as Elijah said. She said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough. There was always enough in the containers, just as the Lord has promised. God has made us a promise that God is going to provide for us everything that we truly, truly need. And that is abundance. Sometimes enough, in a world where someone dies every 10 seconds, sometimes enough is abundance. And why are we turning a blind eye that others don't have enough, that their tables don't have bounty, that their tables are empty? You see, friends, God is generous with you and me so that we can be generous to others. It's a belief that produces enough so that we can give some away. And so this week, especially as you are gathering for your Thanksgiving celebrations this week, try and be self-aware of moments in your life where you're slipping into scarcity mentality. And ask yourself instead, how might I be able to see the abundance of what is here for me? Help me to be content, Almighty God. There is a prayer in our Methodist heritage that says, Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. Thank you, God. Gratitude is a bridge to abundance. Do you believe? Do you trust that God will provide? Do you believe? Do you trust that God will provide?
Yes.
Do you believe? Do you trust that God will provide?
Yes.
Let's read together. Let's end this sermon by reading the words of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this, because as soon as this is done, we're going to go right into song. And so let's read these words that were spoken to the church in Ephesus. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. How long? Forever and ever. Amen and amen.